Just going to share my testimony, how I came about meeting Christ. All right, so my name is Jose Soto. One of my favorite scriptures, let's see. I would say one of my favorites, Paul says, no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. So the life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So that's like, I like that scripture because I always have to remind myself that it's no longer you, Jose. You know what I mean? Don't get offended by this or that or what you want so much. You know, put Christ first. Put him first, you know. So always, that's a constant reminder. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. So that's the life that I now live. But that's one of my favorite scriptures. But my name's Jose. Born and raised here in Fort Wayne, Indiana. My father's a Spanish band player. And my mother was a Christian woman. Got a lot of family here, Dominguez, Casiano, Sotos, them are basically it right there. But also, one lady, well, my aunt, she was involved in the streets heavy, sound heroin, a whole bunch. She gave herself to the Lord, and she used to come and sit right there. And for a long time since she came home, I think she did about 7 years feds, but all my family have done time, my father, federal, all my aunts, uncles, cousins. But every time I come now, you know, I get a little sad because she always sat right there, and she just passed maybe a couple weeks ago.
Aunt Susie.
But yeah, her name's Aunt Susie. I'm gonna show y'all a picture if y'all didn't know that she's a 10 right here. But she died from COVID. I don't know if a lot of y'all Bob or anybody knew that, but she always used to sit right here. But that's Aunt Susie, but she's resting in heaven now. But she always said, I can't wait to give my testimony. You know, it reminds me of what you said, the power of your testimony. But I'll share that with y'all one day. She don't have a chance to do that no more. But so, yeah, born and raised here in Fort Wayne. A lot of cousins. So I got involved in the streets about, by the time I was in fifth grade, I started kind of like following my older cousins, throwing up gang signs, wearing red or wearing blue at that time. They were involved with Latin folks. Probably about 30 of us, I would say, around our age. So that's never good when you got a lot of cousins like that age, you know, from 14 to 21, growing up at the same time, never good. So we were around here, and I started getting involved, like I said, at 14 years old, getting involved with a little bit of drugs, criminal activity. 18 years old, went to juvenile for drinking and driving. Got my GED. They let me out like 5 months. It's called 120 GED. About 3 months, I got my GED, and I was released from juvenile. As soon as I got released from juvenile, my older cousin was like, the game changed a little bit. That's when a lot of crack and cocaine started coming to Fort Wayne. I was 18. I'm 40 years old, for anybody that don't know. So I'm an 80s baby, 81. So in the 90s, that's when my cousins were telling me, all right, things change, you know, this is the way to make our money now. So, but that was definitely a big road to destruction for me. I carried a firearm since I was 14 years old, continued to carry one at 18, and then got involved with crack and cocaine. I was doing that from 18 to 26 years old. So I was involved with a lot of violence and stuff like that concerning different just addicts, other people trying to rob you. We were robbing people and just a whole mess. My mother, praying woman. So at 14 years old, back on the street we were staying on, she would always like, I'm praying for you boys. I'm praying for y'all. And try to make us to go to church here and there. Kind of force us to go to church. If y'all going to be staying tonight over here, y'all going to church in the morning. And so we literally be going there, yeah, like with hangovers, smelling alcohol and all that. It's one thing so weird, though, from growing up as a Catholic kid from at the age of 2 to 12 before my mom converted to Christianity. At 12, I started attending Christian church. My mom made me go, just like everybody else. But I never remember anything they ever said. Nothing ever stuck to me. After I moved out of my mother's house, I continued to go to church just as religious purposes. Even though I was still in the streets, I still went to church, but I just never, nothing ever stuck to me. But my mom always prayed for me. She always, I remember a couple of times almost ODing off of cocaine, because we would do, a lot of us would do cocaine. We would drink, and we would drink and then do cocaine, you know, for a day or two, or some people longer. But she was there for me then. She's always been there praying for me. I'm praying for you, mijo, you know, like God would change her life, because she knew she couldn't do nothing for me. I was just out of control. Yeah, she did. She's part of my testimony. But her testimony was like the power of prayer that, you know, finally at the age of about 20, in my 20s, she said, there's nothing more I could do. You know, if she would tell God that whatever happens to him happens, but just save his soul. You know, that was her prayer. I don't care if he gets locked up, anything, just save my son. And at the age of 26 years old, I caught a case. And got pulled over, called a case. They let me out. The lawyer said that the feds were going to pick it up. So I was out for about 6 months. During that time, I gave myself to God. Probably about my second month, out of nowhere, I went to church as usual. I don't know what the pastor said, but something inside me said game over, broke my heart. I started getting like feeling something. My hand went up. I don't know. I didn't mean to have it go up. I never planned on ever giving my life to God. Ever since I grew up, I said, that's for old people, like my mom. Like, that's goody two-shoe. I'll never be able to live that ever. You know, I'm going to die this way. This is who I am. This is who my family is. This is my destiny. And I remember before I got locked up, probably about since I was been about 21, I would ask all my older cousins, Joe Luna, Don Dominguez, and all that. I was like, yo, how is it down the way? They was like, you be good, Joselito. Just be who you are on the street, you know what I mean? And you'll be fine. So I remember from 18 on up, I would always look in the mirror and I'd just be like this, like that was my destiny. I already knew. I was like, it's just a matter of time, you know, because my cousins go in, serve 6 to 3, and they come out and we do the same thing. It's just a way of life. They all did it, and we were down to maybe about 5 of us that had never been in the system yet. So it was like, y'all time is coming in my mind. But that's just that criminal thinking, you know, not knowing there's really no other way out. Or feeling like that. But at 26, I caught a case. They let me out. The lawyer said the Fed's going to pick it up. Gave myself to God. I started working for the first time. Started doing tile. And went to the gym. I came out. They indicted me. At 26, they indicted me. I actually thought, you know, things would get a little bit better after I gave myself to God. Even though I was like, maybe they'll drop the case. You know, they didn't have enough evidence, this and that. They illegal searched me, and not long, like I said, after I gave myself to God, it was about 4 weeks later, the feds came and got me. Right before the feds came and got me, though, the pastor said he was going to send somebody over to read the word with me, and he started reading it with me, and then that next Friday, I finally picked it up on my own in my backyard, I remember, and I was reading the book of John, so that's why I would recommend anybody to start with John. I started getting emotional about this Jesus, and I was really confused. I was like, why am I like getting emotional over some words in this book? Like, you know what I mean? Like, I heard of Jesus and that, but why is this, you know what I mean? Like, this is not me. Like, I just didn't understand why I was getting emotional. But that at that time, God was already working on my heart. He was tugging at me, putting away my old nature, that flesh, you know, and that hard stone. He's putting that up and softening me up. So I was doing that. Like I said, a couple weeks later, got indicted by the federal government, went inside the county jail. And I just remember like, man, I'm just going to pick up where I left off. I was probably like on the second chapter of John. And then that's when like that transformation started taking place. And the Bible says, how can a young man cleanse his ways? It says by taking heed to the word of God. And the word says that his word is living and powerful, sharper than a double-edged sword. Like, it's able to pierce even to your soul. So I'm a witness of that. I never thought like some words in a book could have so much power. Amen. You know, and you know, I was amazed, you know, like, wow, this book is transforming my life and my thought process. And I was in the county, and like I said, I start calling home, and people was like, oh man, you doing that jailhouse preacher stuff. Like, wait till you come home. It'll be, you know, you'll be back. But how I felt, I try to describe people. I was like, I felt like this book was a mirror. And I finally got to look at myself for the first time, you know, like really looking into my soul. And God was like telling me how dirty I was. And I'm like, man, I don't want to be. I'm pretty filthy. So he started cleaning me up through his word. That's how I looked at it. And I liked it. You know what I mean? Like, and how I describe it, I felt like what he was showing me, that I used to be like a pig in the street. Just, I love trash and a mess. That's how a pig, you know, you don't give, clean up a pig, just roll around in the mud. You know, that's who he is. So I described, that's who I was. I was in the alleys, dark places, trash. And then when God, like, he hit me and he kind of touched my soul, you know, I gave him my life, you know. He was always been there, but I finally gave him my life, you know. And I was like, I always knew he was real. I believed in God, but I never followed him. But like the devil believes in God, you know what I mean? But there's a difference when we follow him, because the devil don't follow him. But I always knew there was a God, but I was like, I never follow you, because I'm not a hypocrite. Because I know you exist, but I'm not gonna follow you. But what he did to me, I felt like when he touched my soul, he hit me, and I became a man, you know, from a pig to a man. He put me down at a table, and he had me like looking at myself, and I looked down, and, you know, and now I got the proper elegant food. And I'm like, man, this is life. This is blessings. And I would look down, and that was my thought process. Now I no longer wanted the trash or the filthiness of the world. You know, I wanted this, you know, the finer things in life, which he provided. So that's how I explain it, how that transformation started taking place. And it was all through the word. I would remember in the county jail, be like, man, I cussed 10 times, 15 times today. And I started counting, you know, like trying to, well, please God, you know. And like I said, it's, you can't do it on your own. You got to have that spirit, you know, asking for his help, his guidance, you know, really asking and seeking, and he'll definitely help you, because he definitely helped me. And I remember that's just lowering that them numbers down over the months, you know, and getting down to one and zero. Okay, I cussed one time today, and then before long I felt like him within me was like, you know, you don't need to count no more, you know. And once I stopped counting, it kind of just kind of went away, along with a lot of other things that he helped me with. Lust. The word of God helped me with lust. His spirit, as far as I remember the scriptures I would hold into my mind, says, Job said, I made a covenant with my eyes not to lust upon a young woman. So I would always recite this. And just like the cursing, I would imply that too in my life. You know, see a beautiful woman. At that time, it would be a nurse in the county. Everybody's on the nurses. They looking, you know. That's like gold, you know. So I would practice that way. See her come. Okay, she looks good. Look away. You know, I made a covenant with my eyes. I promise, you know. But you have to put these things into practice, just like cussing. If I don't keep that on my mind, you know what I mean, trying to please God, And bad company corrupts good behavior. I noticed that too. So I was like, okay, my weakness is cussing. I'm using a lot of street terms. When I play spades and I'm around the homies, it's starting to come out more. Like, okay, so I got to adjust my environment. But when I'm with my brothers in Christ, it's not there. So I start, you know, God starts showing me like, okay, you know, it's your surroundings too. It says in the word, it said, the righteous should choose his friends carefully, for the way of the wicked will lead them astray. So he's telling those things for a reason, you know. And that was a prime example for me, like, man, okay, like I got to choose my friends more carefully, you know, because these other guys are, you know what I mean, they're not helping, they're adding to the thing. Look at that girl, look, Soto, look, she coming in. And I'm like, oh man, y'all adding to it. But my other brothers, you know, they're already looking away, they're already, you know, they're moving, they're not, you know, like David, you know, they're fleeing. They're not sticking around. So, but that's what wisdom, you know, and the word of God was, training my mind and preparing me. So I was in the county jail for about 11 months. And then I finally went to court, because I had a federal case, so you're in there a lot longer. And then I went to court. They gave me 10 years, 5 years federal probation, 5 years prison. Went to Oklahoma first. A holding facility there, and then I got shipped to West Virginia, Morgantown. So another thing which kind of messed with my mind was my cousins was like, you're going to Westville whenever you get locked up, or Michigan City. He's like, trust me, we got all family over there, you'll be good. So to Joselito, when you get locked up, you're gonna know somebody, best believe that. But what they didn't know, and I didn't know, when I was the first one to catch a federal case, and federal, you go out of anywhere in the United States. So you're not going to just be in the state of Indiana, which I was. So when I went to West Virginia, there was one old man from Fort Wayne. I never met him in my life, but there was nobody from Fort Wayne. Nobody. So I was like, all right, I'm on my own. And that was something new for me. But during my whole process, I didn't rely on I didn't really rely on people for Indiana or anybody. My trust was always in God. He showed me that even in the county jail, that he's my true strength, you know. He's my source of power, and he amazed me, you know, during my time in the county, because I felt like, and I know, and not even felt, he saved my life, you know. I truly believe in hell, and there's many testimonies about hell and heaven, and he saved me from that, and I'm just so thankful that he touched me and was able to save me for that. So my mindset was always being like, to live is Christ, and to die is gain for me. So either way, you know, I win. I got the victory. So anyways, I went down to West Virginia, Morgantown. I was around some good brothers. Got to do a lot of Bible study every other day. I remember working in the chapel. So I started working in the chapel, making about $10 a month as an orderly. And I remember this... I started getting frustrated as a Christian, like, man, look at everybody from Detroit, D.C. They're all getting together on the weekends and they're making these slams. You know, they're making big, big food. And I'm like, man, I've been eating ramen noodles and tuna like every day from the county. Like, my mom was only giving me $100 a month, and it wasn't, it, you know, so I was stretched out $25 a week. That's not enough to, you know, 7 days to try to get you a pizza and all that pop and all that good stuff on the weekends like everybody else. So anyway, I said it to say I was getting frustrated. After my third year in prison, it really started getting to me out of nowhere. I could feel my blood boiling, like, man, this is bull. Like, you know what I mean? I've been doing this right thing for so long, and I'm still, like, struggling, and everybody else is, you know, living like they're doing good. You know, I think I'm going to start hustling. That's my mindset was going, like, if I could hustle and I could eat good, you know. God said he knows everyone, all hearts, you know what I mean, and prayers and supplication. Even when you're not praying, he knows what you want. God is God. That week was a super blessing for me, and it was a pivotal moment in my life that I never forgot. Never count out God on anything. Is there's this place called Food Service Warehouse. Only 6 inmates out of 1,400 people able to work in this place. That job don't open up because people doing 5-10 years, they're not moving. They get there, they're not moving. That thing's locked. This opportunity came up, and this guy named Shook came up. He was like, hey, Soto. He's like, you're a good dude. He said, there's a dude going home. He said, I need to know your answer. You want to come work? And I was like, man, I don't know, because it was going to change up my whole bid. I got to meet new inmates. I got to adapt to a whole new surrounding. I don't know who's there. Just some people could give you a hard time, even as a Christian, or it don't matter. As long as I know, they could give you a hard time. They don't. Some people just don't care. And I'm like, I'm comfortable right now. You know, I'm working in the chapel. I go back to my dorm. I know everybody. Like, this is going to change everything. And I only got like a year and some change left. I don't know if I should make that move, but I felt like what God was telling me, like, no matter what you do, like, I'll never leave or forsake you. He said, so my heart was scared and timid, like most people. Even I feel like in life, you're comfortable where you're at, and you're content. You know what I mean? You don't want to make no moves because of fear, basically, you know? And God was telling me, like, I didn't give you that spirit, you know? So if you're going to move, move. And I just jumped on it. I was like, you know what? I don't know what's in front of me. I can't see it. And I was like, but I'll take it, and I'll trust God. And that was one of the biggest blessings ever, because to work in a food service warehouse department, the head manager and CEO of the kitchen blessed us with abundance of food, you know, and that was amazing. I mean, they went out their way. This head warden or whatever got us a microwave. He's like, I know y'all work out. Got us a blender. He was like, don't tell nobody. And I mean, we're eating chicken, turkey, steak every day, like broccoli. So what we was eating, he would let us eat what that warden and them ate. He was like, get your food. And basically they locked you in a cage from a big old warehouse from like 7 to 3. But it was so life changing. I felt like I went from so little ramen noodles and tuna to abundance. Like, and in prison, that's big. Food is a big commodity. You know what I mean? If you got food, you is set. You know, it's better than money. And I remember that, and I'll never count on God for nothing because of that situation. I was eating orange, banana, apple, everything I get a hold of every day. I made a part of my daily routine because I was eating real eggs, and a pound, they don't eat real eggs. You eat bag eggs. You know, you never will see real eggs. You'll never see broccoli, none of that stuff. And I got to see all that, and it was all to the glory of God. You know, like, I felt like, you know, in due time, you know. So he says in his word, you know, let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due time, you know, not my time, but due time, you will reap if you don't lose heart. So he's like, don't give up, man. You know, you're seeking for a job, or you're seeking to overcome work release, probation. He said, don't give up. Not on your time, you know, but keep doing right. He said, you'll reap, you know, you'll reap the benefits. In due time, you'll reap. And he'll see to that. Because like he told me, that was 3 years, you know, me eating ramen noodles and tuna before that opportunity presented itself. But when that opportunity presented itself, you'll be surprised how you surpass so many people that have been taking shortcuts. You know what I mean? They hustling, bustling, shortcut. And, you know, I'm struggling doing that, doing the right thing. Before you know it, God's like, God's a God of change things like this for you. Open up a door that no man could shut. A job opportunity. Probation officer's like, you know what? You're doing real good. I'm going to write a letter to the judge. Just because I like you, I'm going to write a letter to the judge to get you on early release probation. And that happened to me when I came home. I had 5 years federal probation. I told my family, I set the standard high, because in 22 months, they wrote a letter to the judge. So that was less than half of my time on federal probation. And I still got family maxing out on their 5 years. You know, they didn't have that blessing. So that whole rest of that year, I did that, ate good, came home. Another blessing, I got home. Before I got home, I think it was, they were talking about a recession, and a lot of people are not getting jobs. There's college kids out here not getting jobs, this and that. So I was locked up with white collar crime individuals. That means like lawyers. I used to play chess with a lawyer. People that own banks. There's judges, all that. And I had a group of them that I would talk to on occasion, Bob and them. And I would go over there, and they was like, you know, Jose, you're a man of faith. You know, we don't want you to be disappointed when you get out. You know, we got a lot of family. It tells us about everything going on out there. We're just being realistic with you. You know, you're probably not going to have a job when you go home. I felt like that's the enemy, always the enemy trying to create doubt. You know what I mean? Before, and they have facts, but still, you know, as us, we don't believe just in facts. The doctor says this. You know, your probation says this. It said, what man thinks seem impossible, with you, it might seem impossible. But he said, with God, all things are possible. Right. So always remember that. Never count God out for nothing. You want a relationship. You want to get married. Just a lot, a house. Everything is possible. With you, it might seem impossible. With man, it might seem impossible. With Bob, it might seem impossible. Ain't no job. But with God, all things are possible. And that's the scripture that I actually gave him. I told Bob and them, I was like, yeah, I hear you. I was like, but what man ain't seen impossible, but with God, all things are possible. When he said that more than one or two people always tell me after I quote a scripture, they were like, oh, you crazy, Soto, you crazy. That's what they call me, crazy, because I'm believing what God said, you know. And it came to pass, I came home, and I was at work release on Lima Road. They shared it, the county and federal. And the supervisor said the same thing. Hey, Soto, there's 20 people in here waiting in line for jobs. Because I said, when can I go home? My little girl's birthday this weekend. When can I go home? You know, I want to be there. He said, you got to have a job for 3 days. He said, but I'm going to tell you right now, there's 20 other people just got here a week ago and still looking for a job. And I was like, that's the enemy again. You know, now you finally, you know, get a little bit of air, and the enemy coming again. Hey, nope, it ain't going to happen. So what you got to do, you got to refer back to the word of God. Because if I refer to me, I'm like, dang, you right. Look, dang, like, I ain't going to make it. You know what I mean? We can't go upon our own thoughts. You know, we have to rely on God's word. His word is so much powerful than your words could ever be, or where your mind could ever take you. So that's why I always believe in this word, that you have to hang on. Jesus said that this word is a sword. That's the only way you're going to be able to fight. You know, your mind, the devil, the enemy, anybody, you have the word. So Jesus, he used the word as an example. The devil himself came to Jesus, and Jesus was like, you know, man must not live off bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. He started quoting scripture three times. So like, he's our prime example what we should do. You know, we got to try our best to memorize something or just and say in the name of Jesus, I rebuke that. Like, I don't believe that. You know what I mean? I'm gonna believe what God said. He said the young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall lack no good thing.
That's right.
That's what he told me. So that's what I'm gonna believe. I ain't gonna believe there ain't no jobs out here. I'm gonna believe what God says. I'm gonna believe in the impossible. You know, because that's what we serve. You know, we can never not forget him or count him out. You know, never count him out. Always hang on. The devil wants your faith to be down here and your fear to be up here.
Yep.
And he gonna throw the news at you, your probation officer or whatever. As long as your fear up here and you got doubt, he can do nothing with doubt. He said, I could do lack of miracles. He came to certain places. Jesus said, I could do lack of stuff because of your doubt. But he says, according to your faith, let it be done unto you. Yeah, I like you. You believe. Now I'm going to bless you. All the time throughout the Bible, he said, according to your faith, according to your faith, you believe. I like that. Give him what he wants. She be healed. He get this. He get that. Always by faith. But the enemy, he right here. Once your fear here, anytime your fear's up here and your mind's in doubt, worry, best believe your faith is down here. But when your faith is up here, then the doubt and worry is down here. How can you get faith? It says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So anybody wants faith, that's how you got to get into it or start hearing it and remembering that that's faith. And then faith is a substance of things hoped for yet not seen. So you're hoping and believing it's coming, yet you're not seeing it. So I come back, I tell the supervisor, he gave me that line. I said, okay. I came back in 2 days, an open door came up. My children's mother knew somebody at Ellis Tech. Goes, I can get you in as a dishwasher. I said, well, I don't care what it is. Put me in. I need to work 3 days and go home and be there for my little girl's birthday. And that's exactly what happened. I worked for 3 days. I came back with my paper to my supervisor. Like, here, I've been working. It was 3 days. He gave me a pass. And I literally came home. My first day out was March 17, 2012. And I made it on her birthday. And my little girl turned, she was 7, turning 8. She's like, this is the best birthday ever, Dad. It was amazing. You know, like, that's God's work that I came home my first 24-hour pass on her birthday. And we threw a big party at my parents in the backyard, balloon, all that. So it was definitely a blessing to see God's hand at work. But I felt like God telling me, you know, according to your faith, let it be done unto you. That's what you want? You want a job? You want to go do this? Believe me then. Believe it. Don't believe your supervisor. Don't believe the bankers and everybody saying it's a recession. All that could be true, but believe me. He said, and I'll get it done for you, not them. And that's exactly what happened. But all those things happened, and it started building my faith. These little stories, they start building my faith for more things. And out throughout my freedom out here, he's continued. That still plays a part in my life. After that, working at Master Spa, Fleetwood, and people was like, I was like, you know what? I'm gonna own my own trucking company. You know, I'm gonna get my CDLs. They was like, you're a federal felon. You ain't no way. You gonna get you. They was like, you ain't gonna open up this and that and hire people. You're a federal felon, and you got caught with a pistol and over half a key of drugs. You is not gonna have no trucking company, bro. Believe that. But that's what man say. You know, I'm sure he didn't know all his facts, you know, but I felt like that was the enemy again. And I was like, nah, I'm gonna go for it. You know what I mean? I'm gonna go for the impossible. And my dad was an ex-trucker. He had his own company. He's the one that provided that. He was like, you know, you want to change your ways? He was like, I got an opportunity. I can show you everything I know. I'll teach you and get you your CDLs. And that's what happened. I was telling even my manager, Fleetwood, we got up to like 17 and a quarter and great benefits and all that. He was like, man, you're getting a raise, you're doing good, this and that. I was like, yeah, but I'm about to quit soon. I'm gonna quit. And they was like, yeah, okay. And not until I came in with that paper, my 2-week notice, and I said, I just opened up my own authority today. You know, I got my CDLs and I got taught how to open up my own trucking company. I don't got a truck yet, but my dad got the old one. And he told me if I saved up $8,000 that we could fix it. So I worked all overtime and I kept telling him I'm quitting one day. And I came in and I told him. And some of them, even to this day, you know, my barber, and they was like, man, we thought you was all talk, man. He was like, you just talking. You know, you're fresh home from prison, you're doing this jailhouse preaching. You know, like your faith is way high. You know, you're ahead of yourself, Soto. Like you ahead, you about to fall face down, you know. but my faith kept me there. You know, God kept me there. You know, he said, what, and that Psalms 23 said, I'll lead you in a path of righteousness for my name's sake. You know, he'll lead you. As long as we have that faith and keep believing in him, he said, I'll get you there. And that's what happened, you know. But the finances is meant nothing to me, even to this day. I got four semis. I just bought my other KW 2016 semi about 2 weeks ago. I'm helping young drivers coming from the system, minorities or whatever, felons, people involved with streets get their license. But I remember a couple of years ago, one of my semis flipped over. And then my other engine blew. And I was like, man, this is some bad luck right here going on. You know, I lost out. I didn't have full coverage on my semi or trailer. It was paid for. I never thought my driver would total it. It did happen. Took major loss, you know, major losses in within a week. And I started kind of getting down like, man, this is sucks. Like, man, why? You know, I'm working hard. And then my uncle called me, man. And I haven't had like a, I would say like a spiritual high, but he called me out of nowhere. He's sobbing. He's from New York, and he called me. He was like, his wife died, and he was like, you know, I know you, my nephew, but I never met nobody like you in my life. He was like, not in New York, here in Fort Wayne, involved with the streets and doing what you do. You ain't no pastor, nobody. And he says, you know, you giving me faith and hope. And he just started speaking this, and he's sobbing. And after the end of that conversation, you know, God was telling me, he was like, it ain't finances why you're here for, you know what I mean? To build your kingdom with trucks or 20 trucks, whatever you go with. He says to change lives. He said, that's what you're doing. He was like, this is a little bit of like a nugget for you. And I got so like blessed, like, you know, and emotional, like, dang, this is it. You know what I mean? It's not all about me and trying to build nothing. And also I learned, like what Paul said, he said, I knew the secret to life, to be content in all things. He said, I know what it is to be hungry, full, to have money, no money. He said, but with Christ, I can do everything. You know, Christ is my peace. He's my strength. So I keep holding on to that throughout my journey. You know what I mean? Like, it means I could lose everything. The houses or anything. But one thing that can't be taken is that peace that I have with God, you know, and that love that I have for him. That'll never leave. You know what I mean? So that's something that I encourage all y'all to take that one step. You know what I mean? It's more than we could think of. You know, he said, I have not seen nor ear heard the things that I have prepared for y'all that love me. You know, he got a lot of things in store for us, not just here in this earthly life, but after. My uncle Chief Perez just passed a couple of days ago. He was talking about his trucks before he passed. Different things about his trucks, and I don't think he knew he was gonna die, but he was so stressed out about his trucks and what he's gonna do with those. But it reminded me like God saying, you know, he told this fool in a parable. He gave a parable about this fool. This fool was like, man, I got all this money, I got all these barns, I'm about to stack this and that, build this and this. And God was like, man, you a fool. He said, because tonight I require your life. He said, your life is over tonight. He said, you know, you rich in all these things, but you ain't rich in me. Amen. He said, and he called that man a fool. Yep. So that's something for us to think about. It ain't all about, you know, working and trying to accomplish and get all this and that. That's not where it's at. Where it's at is that relationship with God. Because everybody here is going to pass one day. You know, we'll be in a hospital bed or something. And we're going to stop thinking about that car. And that job and all that, you're going to start looking around who love you, you know, or calling on God, like, save me. You know, you ain't going to ask them to save my house or give me my car back. You're going to be like, save my life, man. Save my soul, you know, either here or then. So that's the most important thing that I've been learning since this journey is that relationship with God and continue to have that relationship. It's not every Sunday or every other day. But it's every day. Amen. Every day. Because tomorrow is not promised for none of us or for none of y'all family. So we got to continue to build that relationship with God. God loves us so much. More than we can always think. I know that one scripture sounds so cliche, I think. You know, God so loved the world. Everybody hear that. But it's so much deeper than that. Like, it's so deep. You know what I mean? Because he really does love us. Like, unconditionally. You know, he wants, and the devil, man, the devil and the enemy, we don't see these things because you don't hear a lot of it. But I remember this book, this pastor said, he's like, Soto, we're about to end it in a minute. But he said, Soto, he said, when you sin, man, he said, angels, man, they sad, bro. He was like, God and the angels, he said, they mourn, man, when you sinning. He said, you don't see that. He said, they mourn when you sin. He said, but you know what the demons do? He said, they gloat. He said, they smile. He said, the devil come to kill, steal, and destroy your whole family, your peace, and everything that you ever worked for. So that's powerful. Keep that in mind. You know, when you sin, you do wrong, demons like that. They smile behind them doors. You know what I mean? And gloat. They want to destroy you. They want to destroy your life, your job, everything, your family, not just you, everything. They don't want your soul to be with God. He don't want that. And angels mourn because they sad because they know the love and the ability that y'all all have. You know what I mean? That Christ is giving us that opportunity. So I just want to continue to bless y'all with that.